foundations of amateur radio. The thing I love most about this amazing hobby of amateur radio is the sheer size of the community and the depth of knowledge that comes with it. Case in point, the other day I mentioned the Spark Gap transmitter at Grimeton in Sweden. A few hours after releasing my comments into the void, I received a message from Paul, Sierra Alpha 7 Charlie November Delta, who lives, wait for it, 153 kilometres from the transmitter. He's been on site while it was running, transmitting on 17.2 kHz. Paul pointed out that the Grimeton transmitter is not a spark gap transmitter at all. It's actually an Alexanderson alternator, an entirely different beast, and all the more interesting for it. Invented by Swedish electrical engineer and inventor Ernst Fredrik Werner Alexanderson, he received a patent for it in 1911, whilst working for General Electric. He died in 1975, aged 97, with 345 patents to his name. Before I dig in, because you know I will, the transmitter at Grimeton was officially opened on the 1st of December in 1924. Built to increase Swedish independence after World War I revealed its vulnerability to foreign-controlled transatlantic telegraph cables. Serving as a telegraphy station capable of transmitting traffic across the Atlantic Ocean, the station was in regular service until 1996. Unlike its scrapped brethren, the Grimeton transmitter is currently operated several times a year as a functioning transmitter using the callsign Sierra Alpha Quebec. Announcements are made on the station mailing list and the website at grimeton.org, but generally on Alexanderson Day in July and Christmas Eve in December. You'll need to tune to 17.2 kHz, something you can do with a sound card or with an SDR. Sound card, you say? Yes. Not for audio, but for RF. Connect an antenna to the microphone center pin input and have at it. Note that this will likely be highly susceptible to noise, so filtering and experimentation are to be expected. There's several tools around to play with this. GNU Radio, QISC, Super SID, and SAQRX. Also, there's plenty of other VLF or very low frequency stations to listen to. I should probably add this as a 51st thing to do with SDR, but I digress. Back to Grimeton. As the last remaining functional Alexanderson alternator transmitter, it was added to the UNESCO World Heritage List in 2004. You can visit and see firsthand what radio history looks like. As I said, if you pick your day, you can even watch it working. Failing that, there's plenty of YouTube videos showing the entire process. It's an absolute monster. There's even an amateur radio shack on site with the call sign Sierra Kilo 6 Sierra Alpha Quebec. The website says that it's open sporadically, so I'd recommend you contact them before heading to Grimeton. I'll note that at the time that this station was being commissioned, in 1924, it was already being superseded by valve oscillators, which brings me to how it works. Depending on where you live, you're likely familiar with the 50 or 60 Hz alternating current associated with household electricity. In 1891, Irish experimental physicist Frederick Thomas Troughton pointed out that if you could run an alternator at high enough speed, it would create an alternating current at radio frequencies. Said differently, creating a continuous wave at radio frequencies. Much experimentation followed, and many giant shoulders supported this effort. It goes a little like this. Use an electric motor designed to spin at 900 revolutions per minute. Connect it to a gearbox. Connect that to a rotor with multiple poles. Then run the motor with a clutch to vary the speed. If that's not enough to produce high power, the clearances between rotor and stator have to be kept to a millimeter. Then there is cooling and lubrication to consider, not to mention dealing with thermal expansion and contraction of a fast-spinning and closely toleranced disc. At Grimmerton, the whole transmitter weighs in at 50 tonnes, pretty much the opposite of portable operation. The rotor at Grimmerton is a 1.6 metre diameter disc with a 7.5 centimetre thick edge with 488 slots milled into it, each filled with brass. The motor at Grimmerton runs at just over 711.3 revolutions per minute. The gearbox has a ratio of 2.973, and the whole contraption generates 17,200 Hz. If you get the sense that you're balancing an elephant on top of a needle, you're almost there, but if you consider that keying the transmitter changes the load and currents, it's more like an elephant being shoved by a train balancing on top of a needle. At Grimmerton, the motor is loaded by one of three liquid resistors, which each consist of a 2-metre-high container filled with water and baking soda. The liquid level is controlled by separate pumps, varying the resistance. Whilst transmitting, a second liquid resistor is added, reducing the resistance to regulate the speed of the motor to maintain the overall speed and the associated frequency. The resistors generate heat, which is fed through a heat exchange to the station's water cooling system. The third resistor is available as a spare. The remarkable thing? It works. So much so that there were several stations built and operated across the planet. There's more. This system is also capable of amplitude modulation, and with it, the ability to send the human voice across the airwaves. As an aside, there's a rotating spark gap transmitter by Canadian electrical engineer and inventor Reginald Fessenden, who is said to have given voice to radio in 1900 across a 1.6 kilometre distance. But that's a tale for another day. The frequency that Grimmerton transmits on, 17.2 kHz, means a wavelength of nearly 17.5 kilometres. The antenna at Grimmerton is only about 2 kilometres long. In other words, it's a compromise antenna. I'm making a joke here, but also a point. Every antenna is a compromise. Any antenna is better than no antenna. Meanwhile, the antenna at Grimmerton looks like a string of high-voltage pylons with 8 wires strung between them. Each of the 6 towers is 127 metres tall, with a crossarm that's 46 metres wide. Every tower holds a vertical radiator connected to the ground via a coil to tune the phase and capacitance of each radiator. So, spark gap this is not. Well, at least not intentionally. This remarkable piece of engineering makes me wonder if you can use the same system to spin a modern motor, say the spindle of a CNC, and use it to get on air and make noise. Now all I need is someone to talk to. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.